Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Read down through verse 7. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Our Lord Jesus, our great God and Savior, we just read how that we're to preach you, to honor you, and that we've received mercy. We're not supposed to handle this word deceitfully in any way. So God, teach me and enable me and enables others to always be true, rightly dividing the blessed word of truth. And Lord Jesus, we pray for those who have afflictions, have a great trial going through in their life, or whatever may be going on. We ask for your mercies and your strength, your encouragement, for your spirit to be their comfort and consolation. And our Father, we pray for those who are sick, physically sick, that you would please have mercy on them, restore them, and Lord, have mercy upon our children and our grandchildren, create in them a desire after Christ. Enable me to feed your sheep tonight. Enable your sheep to hear. Please, let us have your presence and power. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Back here in verse 6 with me. I'm going to get my subject this evening. I got up with this on my mind yesterday morning. About the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The face of Christ. He says in verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And there are several things about the face of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And when you see our Lord Jesus Christ, you see God. That's obvious. We know that. That's what he says himself. And here, when it says we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, this is the only place you can see God's glory. It's the only place you'll see perfection. The only place you'll see God glorified and honored is in this blessed man's face. And when he talks about face, he's talking about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, the glory of God's in him. Look in Hebrews, and this perfection. Look at Hebrews 1. Perfection's in this blessed man. That's the face of perfection. And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, when it says God's glory was seen in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that Philip said to him, "Show us the Father and that'll be sufficient. That'll satisfy us. That's sufficient for us. We won't ask for nothing else about you." And he said, "Philip, have I been with you such a long time, and you've not seen the Father? For he that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And look what it says here in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1. talking about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of His glory, the brightness of God's glory. And how could He be the brightness of God's glory manifested in the flesh? Well, only to the people that God gave the light, gave the understanding, gave the knowledge to, can see the brightness of His glory. And He was not only the brightness of God's glory, but the express image of His person. And so when you seen the Lord Jesus Christ and looked on His face, you was looking on Jehovah. You was looking on God Almighty. You was looking on the glory of God, in Christ's face. And let me show you something else, just to make a comment in John chapter 1. Just make a comment or two here. Now, we're going to look at several scriptures this evening. But all to what's seen in that blessed face of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God in it. The only place that there's perfection. And here's another place where it talks about God's glory in Christ. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh. Christ came as a man and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, lived among us. And look what it says, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Now how could we behold His glory as the only begotten of the Father? Because God gave us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the person of His blessed Son. And then look what He says about it. Full of grace and full of truth. Is there anything that happened to our Lord Jesus Christ that when He left glory, it was grace that brought Him down? When He took into the womb of a virgin, it was grace that put Him there. When He was born in a manger and raised up in Nazareth, it was the grace of God. Everything, He was full of grace. Everything God did for Him and everything He came to do is full of grace and full of truth. Truth. Truth without grace is just harshness. It's don't have no life to it. It has no power to it. It has no touch to it. But you take grace and truth mixed together, and grace will take that blessed truth. And He'll make that truth as He speaks it to us and reveals it to us in Christ's glory, in His face, as He opens His mouth. I think it's in Psalm 45:1 says that grace poured forth from His lips. Never man spake like this man. So we see that. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you another one before you don't even have to look at this one. But in Psalm 84:9, it says this, the glory of God look upon the face of thine anointed. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ saying, look upon the face, look upon me, look upon the face of thine anointed. Now God, the word Messiah and the word Christ, that's what it means, the anointed one. That's what Christ means, the one anointed. That's what Messiah meant, the one anointed. And of all the people that God anointed, He anointed Aaron to be the first high priest. He anointed Moses to be the mediator, to be the deliverer of Israel. But of all the anointings that was done, He says, thou hast anointed me with oil above the gladness of thy fellows. Now our Lord Jesus Christ was anointed. And God looked upon Him and saw Him and set His seal upon Him. And there's three offices of our Lord Jesus Christ that He's anointed to. And the first one, He said in Isaiah 61, the Lord hath anointed me. What's the first thing? To preach the gospel. To be a prophet. To be a preacher. To tell people what God said. That's what a prophet does. And he not only tells what God said, but he tells you what's going to happen later. He told His disciples what would happen to them later. He told them what He Himself was going to go through. So He had anointed to the office of a prophet. If we ever learn anything from God, do you know who's going to teach us? The Lord Jesus Christ is God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. And the second office He has is as a priest. He's anointed to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, you know what a priest does? The first thing he does, he's got to be called to the office. Christ didn't take this unto Himself, but God anointed him to the office of a priest.
the great high priest. And a priest, there's two things he does. First of all, he approaches God on behalf of other men, others on the behalf of sinners. He has to take an offering. And only the priest can make an offering. Only the priest can offer make the offering. And only the priest can come back out and tell you what God did with that offering, whether that offering was accepted or not. And our Lord Jesus Christ, not only was he our high priest, but he was the sacrifice that he offered. He was the altar on which he offered it. And he was the blood on that offer. And he took it all into the presence of God, and he came back out, and God said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with what he did. And now his blood is a sweet smelling savor. His name is a sweet smelling savor unto God. And the third office that he has is as a king. And now a king, and this is what's so blessed about the kingdom of Christ. That's what Pilate says. He says, if you're a king, where's your subject at? Why? He says, my kingdom's not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. If it was, my people would have fought. He said, I could call 12 legions of angels. But my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And Christ reigns in the hearts and in the lives of his blessed people. And we're thankful that he does. Ain't you grateful that he's king? And I tell you, whichever way this election goes, I'll guarantee you this, Christ will still be king over his people. He'll still provide for his people. He'll still protect his people. And as a king, he went and fought all of our enemies. That's what a king does. He goes and fights all your enemies, conquers all your foes, and then he comes and takes care of all of his subjects. And you look what King David did, and what Solomon did, and what Hezekiah did. These men defeated the foes of Christ, and our Lord Jesus Christ defeated all our foes. Sets on the throne, and that's why we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And oh, when the kingdom of God comes into a man's heart, and Christ sets on the heart of a man's soul, from then there on, he is a glad, willing subject of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Job said, he's taking the crown off of my head. Oh, he took that crown off of my head. Where'd he put it? And everybody will say, well, you know, people talk about getting these crowns when they get to glory. It says, well, if you was to have one, and it talks about two or three crowns in the New Testament. If, when you get them, whatever you get, there's the crown of life and there's the crown of righteousness. And whatever we get, you know what the scripture says? They all cast their crowns down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's anointed to three blessed offices. And oh, listen, let me show you something over here in second, in Luke chapter 9. So, oh, he look upon the face of thine anointed. And you know, that's what we talked about the other day in Acts chapter 2. It says that he was approved of God, a man approved of God. The miracle signs and wonders. And our Lord Jesus Christ, look upon the face of thine anointed. And I tell you one thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he had God, the scripture says that God set to his seal that he's true. When God sets his seal, that means that God says, this is the one that I approve of and nobody else. And God gave him offices that nobody else can intrude on. There ain't no more prophets that's going to foretell anything. And there ain't nobody that knows the will of God, the mind of God, the purpose of God, the covenants of God, than our Lord Jesus Christ did. And he come and told us what God's will and purpose was in this world and what would be accomplished by his death. And then not only that, but he come and told us that he himself was the Lamb of God, that he himself would be that offering. And he told his disciples that he must go up to Jerusalem. And there's never been a king on the top side of God's earth And people keep waiting for a king to come and set up an earthly throne down here. Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns now and always will reign. And he'll reign until the last enemy is destroyed. And that'll be death. And it says in Revelation 20, death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. And that'll be the end of death. He'll even put death away. And oh, and then is our blessed king. Oh, that's why he's anointed. He's the anointed one. And oh, I heard Spurgeon say one time about anointing people, preachers to preach. He said what they do is they put empty hands on empty heads with men with empty mouths. that's pretty much the same. You know, they get somebody go get anointed to the ministry, you know. Anointed to the ministry. Bunch of people, preachers get around them and all that stuff, and they lay hands on them and all that, and they pray over them. And that's what it's, you know, that's the thing about it. If you're called to preach, you'll know it and everybody else will know it. God will give you hearing. But I do know this, that putting your hands on a man, that's why he says lay hands suddenly on no man. But I tell you what, old Spurgeon's about right. He said, empty hands on empty heads with empty men with empty mouths. And that's about the truth, ain't it? And then look over here in Luke 9:51. Another, our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says about his face here. And it came to pass when the time was come. Oh, the time had come. Our Lord Jesus Christ's time had come. That hour that he had been talking about. That he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now what in the world is he talking? Steadfastly set his face. He had the face of determination. He was determined to do what his Father sent him to do. And he says the time has come. He knew his hour. He knew his moment. He knew everything that was going to come upon him. He said over in John 18, he says, knowing all things that should come upon him, he went off into the Garden of Gethsemane. And I tell you what, and it says here, that he should be received up. Received up to who? Received up to the hands of wicked men, to the hands of sinful men, to the hands of a Pilate and Herod and the soldiers and all the men that despised him and hated him. He's about to be received up. And instead of, you remember where Simon Peter told him. He says, you know, the hour is coming when the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinners. And Simon Peter told him, said, oh, be it far from thee, Lord. Be it far from thee. Now, Simon Peter wasn't Satan. But Satan certainly used him. And our Lord said, get thou behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God, but the things of men. Said, you can't have me without a cross. You want to keep me from going to the cross. You want to keep me from going to Jerusalem. You want to keep me from being turned over to the hands of sinful men. But I've got a will to accomplish, a death to die, a resurrection to come out of, and I've got a Father to satisfy and a people to save. And he set his face toward Jerusalem, and nothing could have stopped our Lord Jesus Christ from doing that. He had that face of determination. I'm going up to Jerusalem. Oh, be it far from me. I'm going up to Jerusalem. Don't you know what's going to happen to you up there? I do. I know every person that's going to slap me. I know every word that's going to be said. I know what they're going to do before they do it. I know I'm going to be blindfolded. I know I'm going to be hated. I know I'm going to be despised. I know I'm going to be lied on. I'm going to be took to this judgment hall, to this judgment hall. I know that Peter's going to deny me 3 times. I know that there's going to be over 500 men come out in the Garden of Gethsemane to get me. He said, but still yet, I steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, if I know that something bad was going to really happen to me. Something bad. And if I really knew it was going to happen, I'd just try my dead level best not to go. A There's some things I'm not going to do. I'm not going to drive on ice. I'm not going to do that. And there's a few other things I just can't think of right now. You ask me sometime, would you do this? I'll say no. Just like if I knew that I was going to be burned at the stake, I'd go hide someplace and they'd have to find me. And that's the truth. I heard a fellow say the other day, he said, you know, I'd be willing to go to the stake for the Lord Jesus Christ and set me on fire. If the Lord calls you to do that, that'd be one thing. But I still believe, and I know that's what they did with everybody that did. They had to go hunt them down and bring them. And if they was going to burn me at the stake or put me in prison, they're going to have to find me. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not like my Lord Jesus Christ. Not on any stretch of the imagination. I have some determination in some things. But my determination can be swayed by certain circumstances. But our Lord Jesus Christ faced everything that was against him and steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Huh? And oh, listen, let me show you another thing about the blessed face of our Lord. Look in Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Oh, here's another face. Oh, here's another face. And I thought about this a lot this afternoon. Here's another face of our Lord. And let me tell you, you know, look what he says in Isaiah 52 and verse 14. And many were astonished at his visage. He was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. His visage, his face. His face. And look what it says in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3, or 2 and 3 of chapter 53. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. Listen to this. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And instead of him, he steadfast set his face to go to Jerusalem. Look what we did. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. His visage was marred. Now, how do you reckon that what this means? I saw a young Marine the other day. Both his ears was burnt off. He didn't have no ears on his side of his head. Skin just as tight around his face, and no eyebrows, nothing, you know. His mouth all drilled over to the side where they'd done over lots of operations on him. And I thought, oh boy, and he was so articulate, and he wasn't embarrassed, and he wasn't ashamed, had an arm missing. Very touching man. He had some things to say and was very good about it, very strong about it, articulate about it, passionate about it. And it just seemed so like his visage bothered him at all. But our Lord Jesus, and that man's visage was marred. I mean, it was marred. But our Lord Jesus Christ, here's the difference. That happened to a sinful man. And a man did it to him. And other people did war. But our Lord Jesus Christ was a sinless man. A perfect man. A holy man. And they took a man who had no sin. Took a man who was the just one, the holy one. And what they would do is they'd get him and they'd take his beard and they'd pluck it out. That's what they said. They'd take his beard and they'd start pulling his beard out. And blood and all that hair coming out of there. And he opened not his mouth. And they pulled his beard out and all the blood and stuff that would come out of it. You know, and then they'd draw back. Big old Roman soldier would draw back and just hit the Lord Jesus Christ like that. He's talking to Herod had said something before Herod, and another one walked back and slapped him across the mouth and said, "You can't speak to the high priest like that." And then after they plucked off his beard, and all the blood and all the tear that came out of it and tore it out from under his chin and all that. And then they took a crown of thorns and, you know, big old, these weren't little old, these not like briars that we have. Not like these briars. They took him crown of thorns, thorns about that long. And they planted that and they stuck it down on his head. And them thorns would just go, you know, there ain't no skin there anyway. And them thorns going down deep under his skin. And why his visage was so marred, because it was the face of God. It was the face of a sinless man. Now, if I got my face messed up, it's just a sinful man. But our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't a sinful man. They done that out of hatred and despising him. And mockery and derision. They despised a man that was sinless so much that they absolutely abused him beyond recognition. And our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the face of substitution. That's the face of substitution. And now he's got that glorified body. He's got that face. Now you know what we sing about? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face I soon shall see. No, we want to see him face to face. And then I'll have a good face. And he'll have a shining face. And he won't have that face like he had there on the cross. He won't have that face that he left Pilate's hall with. He won't have that face anymore. No, he'll have that face. And the scripture says, and we'll see that glory. We'll see that glory. And then, let me show you another one. In Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Oh, what a face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what they did here in Matthew 26 and verse 67. Well, they said there in verse 66, "What thank ye?" the priests are saying. They answered, said, "He's guilty of death." Now watch what happens here. Then did they spit in his face. Do you know what it means for somebody to spit in your face? That means that they absolutely have no regard for you whatsoever. In fact, they've got animosity. They've got hatred. They despise you. They have contempt for you. And they want to show you how much they hate and despise you and how little regard they have for you when somebody walks up and spits in your face. And that's the first thing. They said, "He's guilty." Men walked up to him and started spitting in his face. And there's nothing comes out at no part of a person's body more than what's nasty come out of mouth. That's spit in his face. Showing their hatred, their animosity. And I tell you something else, when a person's in a position to do it, when a person's in a position to do it and there's no consequence for it, there ain't nothing a human being won't do. And these men saw that they had the power, they had the authority, they had the liberty to do it, and there'd be no penalty for it. And they spit in his face. And they'd already beat it. They'd already plucked out the beard. And look what else it says. And they buffeted him. Buffeted him. That means they're just punching around on him. Just throwing him from one man to the next. Just buffeting him around. And look what else it says. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. They spit on him. You know what I think about you, Jesus of Nazareth? Spit on you. You know what I think about your claims as the Messiah? I'll spit on you. You know what I think about those men that follow you? I'll spit on you. You know what I think about all the miracles that I heard about you doing? I'll spit on you. And that's what they did. They spit in his face. They spit in his face. And oh, that's rejection. Oh, they rejected him, spit in his face. And then there's another one. Matthew 17. Oh, you'll like this one, I think. Matthew 17 and verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. That's his glorification. This is what he's going to be, and all of us have to look forward to. When he is on that mountain, the scripture says that he was glorified, and his transfigured before him, his face did shine as the sun. Can anybody here, when the sun's at its brightest, can you look at it in the sun and not, you know, you look away and you're just blind as a bat? But our Lord Jesus Christ, as bright as the sun is, that's how bright his face was. Ain't that what it says? And his face did shine as the sun. And all of his glory and all of his power and all of his warmth. And he was changed. When they looked at him, they said, oh, that's so bright. That's so bright. And all his face was shining like the sun. And that's what's going on in Revelation 1:16. That's what it says over there, that his face was as the sun in its brightness. And oh, that's his glorified face. And bless his holy name. One of these days, that's where we're going to see him. And that's the way we're going to be. We're going to see him as he is. And let me give you two more and make a couple of comments. First of all, look in Revelation 20 and verse 11. Revelation 20:11. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ in his face. Face of perfection. Face of consecration. Revelation 20:11. If I can get there myself. Here we go. And I saw a great white throne, and on him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away. And there's found no place for it. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when this world is done, and this world is consummated, he's going to stand in his glory, going to stand in his power, going to sit on that great throne. And when this thing's done, just at his face, the heavens will go. The earth will go. And I tell you what, the scripture says that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But it's that face of Christ. It's the glory of Christ. It's the power of Christ. The person of Christ. When they see his face, the heavens will fly away. The earth will fly away. Now that's what it's going to be like when our Lord Jesus Christ consummates this age. When it's all said and done. When it's all done, a man was talking to me today. He was asking me a long time ago about cremation. And I told him, no, you can't, that's unscriptural. And he asked me to give him some scriptures, and I did. And he came talk to me today, and he said, I've been looking at them scriptures. And he said, I never had thought anything about cremation being bad. And he said, I've seen some things. He said, I believe you're right. We're going to get a new body, ain't we? I said, we're going to be changed. I said, yeah, that's what's going to be. And so you see, beloved, that's what, when this, our Lord's face, when he comes, and this says, ever I shall behold him, but when this age is consummated, when everybody's been fed, judgment's been set, and all things has been done, the heavens are going to flee away. And the earth is going to flee away. Because they
are under the curse, and they got to be gone. They got to be taken away. They got to be something done with them. And then, let me show you one more here, two more. Psalm 80. Let me look at this with me. Psalm 80. You know, I skipped a point, and I'm going to have to make a few comments on it. Psalm 80. I skipped something. Got carried away on that consecration. And look what he says here now. Oh, this is salvation. This is our salvation right here. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Oh, yeah, Lord, you cause your face to shine on us, and that's salvation. Oh, you cause your face to shine on us, and that's salvation. Oh, boy. And then there's a group that holler, hide us from the face of the wrath of the Lamb, and the rock call for the rocks and mountains to fall on them. And I tell you what, when he said, hide not thy face from me, and this is salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he come to bring us salvation, he had three things he had to do. I know he had more to do, but I'm going to give you three things off the top of my head if I can. First of all, he is the shepherd. He had to lay down his life for the sheep. He had to lay, if the sheep's going to be saved, if God's going to shine his face on us, Christ's going to shine his face on us, then the shepherd's got to lay down his life for the sheep. And then the second thing is that not only must he save them, but as the Lord's, as the shepherd, as the shepherd of the sheep, he has to keep them, he has to lead them, he has to guide them, he has to give them rest, he has to do everything. And that's why he says, the Lord's my shepherd, and I shall not want. And the third thing he'll do in this business of salvation is that the chief shepherd shall soon appear, and we'll appear with him. And then one other thing, Psalm 27:8, and I'm done. Psalm 27:8. Look at this. I know you. This is what everybody says. This is what happens. When thou sayest, seek ye my face. Seek my face. My heart said unto thee. Listen to it. Thy face, Lord, will I see. You tell me, you show me your face, you tell me to seek it. My heart said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And you know, once you start seeking that blessed person, that face, and see God's glory in the face of Christ, your heart continually and constantly seeks him. Don't it? It does. The blessed face of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's glory is in that person. Our Father, thank you for allowing us to say a few things about your blessed Son this evening. Thank you for your wonderful grace, wonderful pity, your patience with us, your long-suffering with us. And thank you for the great love wherewith you loved us. Oh, that you're rich in mercy. Oh, blessed be your name. God bless these saints as they leave here tonight. Got to get up and go face the world tomorrow. Face work and deal with this world. God bless them. God strengthen them. God encourage them. God protect them. And meet all the needs of their homes, the needs of their hearts, the needs of their families. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.